And then to ignite the fire a little bit more, now she reminds them that he's a Hebrew. See, he brought the Hebrew in. And see, she probably knew that there was some resentment over the very fact that Joseph, who was a Hebrew, was now running the place, because the Bible tells us this in Genesis chapter 43 and verse 32. And you don't have to turn there, but if you want to, you can. But Genesis 43 verse 32 says, "And they set on for him by himself, and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians, which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians." So she is in full destruction mode. And she is trying to be very destructive, and she wants to destroy Joseph, and she's bringing up anything that she knows will incite something. Let me make a statement. Sometimes if somebody can't have what you have, then they'll try to destroy you and what you have. But what you do is be faithful in spite of that trial. Not only is she trying to destroy Joseph with her lies, but she's also trying to stir up those men against Potiphar. Because, see, if she can get them stirred up against Potiphar, then that means that they can link up with her. That's what the devil uses, called divide and conquer. She could have handled that thing in a private manner, but no, she wants to try to get some things going so that when her husband comes in, there's going to be a showdown and the men are going to be looking at her. Because, see, she can come in and say, "Listen, all the men know about it. What you gonna do about it?" Let's keep reading. Notice verse 15 down through verse number 16. It says, "And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home." She said, "I'm keeping this right here. Nobody's going to get this. Joe's not going to come back in and get it. Nobody's going to get it. Matter of fact, Joe didn't even come back in the house." Notice verse. And let me make a little statement here. Not really germane, but let me just make a little statement. It's amazing. This is the second time that somebody has taken a coat that belonged to Joseph and tried to fabricate a lie about him. The first time his brothers took his coat of many colors and killed the kid of a goat, the Bible tells us. They took that coat of many colors after they had sold him into slavery and dipped that thing in blood and brought it back to Jacob, fabricating a lie, trying to make Joseph think that a wild animal has destroyed or killed Joseph and Joseph is dead. Now, Potiphar's wife takes Joseph's coat, and she's going to now use that coat to fabricate a lie and say, "He tried to rape me." I don't know if I was Joseph after a while. I say, "Listen, I don't want any coats. I know it's cold outside, but that's all right. Give me a sweat. I don't want any coats." Coates and I, we just don't get along. There's always been some problems. Not germane, but I just thought that was kind of interesting. Notice verse number 17. "And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto us to mock us." See, I just read that normally. Now I'm going to read it with emphasis and put the emphasis where it needs to be. Notice verse 17 again. "And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me." She holds that garment in her hand, and when her husband arrives, she springs the trap. And she says, in essence, if you hadn't have brought that Hebrew in our home, none of this wouldn't have happened. This is your fault, what you're going to do about it. Do you know that his manhood, his decision-making ability, his head of that house, all of that has been challenged by her. She knew exactly what she was doing. Because, see, she wants to work him up. Notice verse 18 and verse number 19. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that's a lie, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when her master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. Now, Potiphar heard the accusations, and the Bible says his wrath was kindled. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever wondered why he got upset? Have you ever thought about it? Maybe he just puzzled you. Maybe he just ran it through your mind. Why did Potiphar get upset? Well, it could have been. Maybe he got upset, mad, because he believed her story. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Personally, I don't think that's the reason. Say, why is that? Because this man is a slave. And if this man was a slave, and this slave came in to rape his wife and tried to, he would have killed him. He would not have taken him and put him in a jail cell. Matter of fact, he didn't even put him down there in Alcatraz. He put him in the jail where the king keeps his prisoners. Remember the butler was in there? The baker was in there. He didn't send him down to Sing Sing. He put him in a place. If you thought that somebody had tried to rape your wife and he's a slave, he's not going to be around to brag about it. He could have been mad. Because he knew the lust that was in her own heart. That's just speculation. You may take the first one and think he was mad at Jordan. That's fine. Everybody's got a right to be wrong. No, honestly, if someone came up and he took that view, I'm fine with that. I honestly am. I'm fine with that. I just don't think it would. It could have been that he knew what was going on, but yet he had to do something. Because everybody's standing around looking at him. All right, what you going to do about it? Or was he mad because he was thinking about all the money he was going to lose? Notice verse number 5. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. He could have thought about it. I'm going to lose all of this. I done turned everything over here. I got blessings. And now because of this lie. But see, he couldn't call it a lie. He just thought it. I've got to do something. I didn't even pronounce my T. See, I got to do something. So he puts Joseph in prison. It could have been. Maybe you could come up with a different one. But be that as it may, at any rate, the story ends the same way regardless of the reason why he got upset. Joseph ended up in prison. Now put yourself in Joseph's place. What if you did the right thing in the eyes of the Lord? You knew you did what was right in God's eyes. You've been a faithful servant to your master. You've resisted his wife, even though she has made advancements, one advance after another, after you on a daily basis, you've been falsely accused, thrown into prison, and punished for something you did not do. What do you do? See, now most people probably would have launched some kind of diatribe and determined that they were going to clear themselves. I'm sure Joseph said something, but the scriptures actually does not record anything that Joseph said to try to clear himself. Matter of fact, there is a tremendous picture of Joseph in Christ, which I won't get into today, but there's a tremendous picture of Joseph and Christ, even if you look from Genesis chapter 37 all the way to Genesis chapter 50, there's so many parallels that you can make with Christ. But I'm sure that Joseph said something, but we just don't have it recorded. But understand this, in life sometimes you can do the right thing, live right, make the right choices, trying to be holy and pure before God and man, and you can still have problems. But when those problems come, remain faithful to the Lord. Trials are going to come. They come along with life. And there will be times when you will be attacked. If you've never been attacked, then cheer up. It's coming. There are times when you're going to be misrepresented. There are times when you're going to be misunderstood. And then there are times when you're just going to be flat out lied on. Just lied on. But even during those times, remain true to the Lord. Remain true to Him. Don't turn your back on God when everything goes against you. And it seems like as if the full weight of life just comes crashing down on you. Just remember to keep true to Him who loved you and bought you with His blood. He was faithful through everything that He went through. And He was lied on at His mock trial. He was crucified. They took His coat and cast lots for it. A special coat, just like one that Joseph had at one point. Wasn't a coat of many colors, but Christ's coat was woven within and without seams. But Christ, with everything that He went through, He didn't give up. So when lies come your way, don't give up. Stay true to Him. When the situation gets bad, stay true to Him. Don't allow the hardships and the valleys of this life to cause you to throw in the towel or to get off course. You say, the more somebody lies on me, the more I'm going to draw closer to the Lord. Don't get upset when things don't go your way. Don't get upset. Don't get upset. Don't get mad at a situation because things don't go your way and get mad at God and so forth. Joseph could have. He could have said, I've been trying to do what's right, trying to live right, kept myself, and next thing you know, here I am in prison. Sometimes people are going to lie about you, talk about you. But don't prove them right by quitting. Prove them wrong by remaining faithful to the Lord. Do you know what will silence the critics faster than anything else? A good life. Let me give you a scripture. I won't have you to turn there. I have it in my notes. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 says, for so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. How you silence foolish men? Well-doing. Just keep doing what you're supposed to do. Just keep doing right before God. Just live right so that when somebody starts lying on you, and the ones that they're lying to, because you have lived in such a way to where even the ones they're lying to will say, you know, something just doesn't mesh. Something doesn't mesh. Let me ask you a question tonight. Let's just be R-E-A-L. Not R-E-E-L, but R-E-A-L. Let's be real tonight. How many of you have ever been lied on by somebody? Slip your hand in the air. Keep it held high. Keep it held high. Keep it held high. All right. Hands all over this building. Amen. Everybody's hands. All right, you may put them down. Somebody has lied on you. You know what you do? And by the way, it's going to happen again. Somebody's going to lie on you again. But when they lie on you again, you just keep right on living for the Lord. Keep right on doing what's right. Keep right on sticking close to him. Stick close to him. Draw nigh to him. Don't let anybody cause you to get upset and throw in the towel. You know what God's looking for? God's looking for people who will be the same when things are good and the same when things are bad. In other words, they're not up here and down here. They're just level. If trouble comes, they're steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. If things are great, they're steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding. If they're going forward, things going forward in their life, then they're still always abounding. If things seem to be going backwards in their life and they're losing, they're keep right away. That's the kind of person God is looking for. And that's why God blessed Joseph. If you ever want God to bless your life, you got to keep going forward. There's no armor for the back. Keep staying close to him because you're going to be lied on. All right, give me your testimony. Stand up and tell me a lie somebody told on you, heavy. I can tell you a number of lies people told on me. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep up. Well, no, it ain't. I'm going to tell you one of them. Just to show you. This happened years ago. Years ago. So don't start trying to figure it out, amen? Years ago. When I say years ago, I'm talking about more than 7 years ago. Years ago. So you with me? All right. Pastor Dennis said more than 7 years ago. I'm saying that for a reason, okay? Somebody told somebody something on me in the congregation. And then the person came to me and said, somebody said this about you, but I don't think that's you, but I need to come ask you. You know what the person said? I've given this illustration before. Person said, they were stranded on the road. So I came up to them. Came up, saw him stranded. Looked at him, stranded on the road. Turned around and left him. Didn't even try to help him. Now, does that sound like me? Now, if I'm up there, listen, I have left, finished preaching, walk out here, see somebody's car broke down out here, take my suit off, roll up my sleeves, and go to work. I spent my birthday one time, somebody's car broke down on them. I spent my birthday, it was on a Sunday several years back, I spent my birthday working from about 2 or 3 in the afternoon all the way up until that night to get that person's car right down there in the lower parking lot. Does that sound like me? So what you do? People are going to lie. They're going to lie on you. Now what had happened was the person had left the church and they were mad. Must have been Potiphar's wife. Just flat out lied, amen. I'm talking about lie. Anybody who know me know I do what I can to help somebody. I've helped people even if their name hadn't been on the church roll. So what you do? Say, you know what, that's it. I'm not helping anybody else. Lied on. Doesn't do any good to help people anyway. You understand what I'm saying? Don't allow the lies of people to cause you to back up in any way. You keep on going on for God. It pays to be faithful. It pays to be faithful. I said, number 1, Joseph was faithful in spite of temptation. Number 2, Joseph was faithful in spite of trials. And number 3, Joseph was faithful in spite of tragedies. Joseph was faithful in spite of tragedies. Verse 20 down through verse 23. said, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Joseph wasn't chained up someplace. See, when God is with you, he can make you bloom anywhere. Because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. You've got to know. Things don't change. You don't just book somebody and put somebody in a prison, and the person who's over the prison not know why this prisoner is coming there. He had to have known, the keeper of the prison, why Joseph was in prison. I want to, anytime you read scripture, just allow some things to run through your head. You understand what I'm saying? Anytime somebody's booked, they know why they're coming there. But yet, he allowed Joseph to have some free reign. Now, boy, there's a lot I could preach on this, but I'm going to let it go. You know, it could have been that Potiphar whispered in his ear some things. But be that as it may, the keeper of the prison saw anything he touches, it blesses. I could have a little bit easy around here. I'm going to put Joseph in charge. And that when the king talks to me, he's going to say, listen, man, your prison, I mean, it's really moving up. Things are coming along good. You're getting a good rating. Oh, yeah, thanks. I'm running the place. Everything's real good. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody looking to take a little credit sometimes. Joseph, through the midst of it all, I mean, this is a tragedy. He's no longer in a pit now, but he's in a prison. He's not in part of his house. He's in a prison. A prison. That's tragic. I'm sure in his mind, he probably thought, how's my dream going to come to pass? But be that as it may, Joseph did not let these circumstances cause him to become bitter. He allowed them to make him better. And he said, I'm going to be faithful. I'm in prison. I couldn't do anything about the lie. But I'm in prison. And by God's grace, I'm going to do the best I can right where I am. And many people would have just given up, quit on God. But no, Joseph kept right on going. He did in prison what he had done at home, what he had done in part of his house. He remained faithful in spite of everything that was going on. Listen to me. Anytime God leads in this area, either somebody's going through something right now and the devil's trying to tell you quit, turn back. No, don't keep going. But I'm telling you, God has some blessings in store for your life if you be faithful, because the Bible says a faithful man shall abound with blessings. He did his job. Joseph did, and he did it well, and pretty soon he's running the place. How was this possible? Verse 21 says, but the Lord was with Joseph. That verse also said he showed him mercy. That meant he gave him favor in the eyes of that keeper. See, one thing that'll open doors that the devil tried to close is the favor of God upon your life. And a person who is faithful, they will have God's favor. A person who's not faithful, they will not have God's favor. Think about your life. If you've ever deviated from the Lord at any time, and I trust by God's grace that hasn't been the case, but at any point in time, or maybe you just know somebody, and when they were in church, faithful, serving God, doing what was right, things in their life was being blessed and God was working and moving in their life. But then all of a sudden something happened and it got away from God. It got away from church. And all of a sudden this started happening. That started happening. This thing started taking place. This issue began to arise. And there's no telling where the enemy will take a person who's not faithful to the Lord. You've got to be faithful regardless of the situation. And verse 23 says, the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. It pays to be faithful. I'm going to say tonight, that if God gives me the strength, I want to be faithful. Faithful. One of the greatest things that anybody could ever say about somebody is the very fact that they're faithful. And in life, you're going to have some problems because the Bible tells us in Job 14, one man is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job 5:7 says, yet man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, we're going to have some troubles and some trials in this life, but if you remain faithful to God, God will allow your dreams to come true. God will bless your life. Hey, I can give you testimony, but some things I'm holding on to, I'm not going to say anything until God says, say it. But I'm telling you, if you will just be faithful, you will be true to God, God will bless your life. Did he bless Joseph? I said, did he bless Joseph? Look at chapter 41, verse 39 through 43 in closing. Genesis 41. Notice verse 39 through 43 in closing. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Now he's standing before Pharaoh. He's interpreting the dream. Thou shalt be over my house.
Okay, I'm going to move on. I said I want to say about that, but I'm going to let it go. You might want to ask him about his wife.
Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my peoples be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed Joseph in a vesture, in vestures of fine linen. He said, but just keep the coat. I don't want that. No, I'm joking about that. And put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. In closing, think about what happened. A Hebrew slave sold in the slavery, lied on, accused of rape, put in prison, forgotten while he was in prison. But now he's second in command, a Hebrew, running the entire nation. Only one above him, and that's Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, really, the only place of authority that I have over you really is just right here in this throne. I am the final authority, but you've got the run of everything. Only God can do something like that. Your life has no limits if you learn to be faithful. You may see somebody who's not faithful. Don't pattern your life after that person. You determine by God's grace you're going to be faithful. If nobody else is faithful, you be faithful, and God will bless your life. You just keep living for God. Even if it seems like right now it's not paying off, keep living for him. Keep praying, even if his answers aren't coming just like you want them. Keep going to church, even if things aren't going well in your life. Keep praising God, even if you've got to praise him through tears. Keep praising God. Be faithful to him, and pretty soon God will take you out of the prison the prison of your circumstances and place you in the palace of your blessings. If you learn to be faithful in spite of the circumstances, it pays to be faithful. Let's bow for prayer.